Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see a full house. You know, with the advent of the internet, there's all kinds of different ideas about just about everything that you can find out there. It appears as every day somebody else comes up with something new. It's almost like the day of the judges, where everybody's doing right in their own eyes, and particularly when you look at the church, quite frankly, and you see the chaos that is in there. And it's not just the calendar that we find, we find it in so many areas, but looking at the calendar, it's not just the actual calendar being used that you find problems with, but even the question of whether Passover should be actually observed on the 14th or the 15th. In other words, should it be observed, Passover killed in the afternoon of the 14th and then actually observed on the 15th, or should it be observed in the beginning of the 14th, which is the way we do it. So what I'd like to do today in the sermonette time that I have available to me is to take a brief look at the subject as to why the controversy exists at all, and also why we keep it at the beginning of the 14th. Now, I'm not going to deal with every single fold and wrinkle on the subject, obviously, in a short sermonette, but I hope to hit some of the high points, anyway, that have a bearing on this particular question. Now, the basic question, really, if you boil it down, it comes down to the point of the fact that apostles are the ones that set doctrines. And Mr. Armstrong, in this article, which you'll find on the Get Back on Track website, Official Ruling on Passover, it's actually in the Pastor General's report back in 1980, March the 21st, 1980. Mr. Armstrong lays out the not the problem so much, but the actual solution, and points out that, in fact, apostles are the one that sets doctrine within the church, not the ministry, not the church members at all. But if you boil it down as to what the real key issue is, and that is the fact that as far as Passover being on the 14th or the 15th, when you put it onto the 15th, then you're merging Passover and unleavened bread. You're putting the two together. And you therefore get rid of the symbolism, the separate symbolism of Passover from unleavened bread. And this is the key problem with the entire subject. That when you start merging the two, you start to get rid of the unique and different steps in God's plan. You have to get rid of sin first. Sins that are past, before then dealing with the living word of God within our mouths. But the actual problem itself revolves around Exodus 12. You want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. You find in Exodus chapter 12 where Moses is instructing, God is instructing Moses. He says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day," this is verse 3, "of this month shall they take them a man, a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next to his house take it according to the number of the individuals. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb." So they judged it so that the group of people eating the lamb would be able to finish it, if possible. But they wouldn't necessarily complete. They're not going to eat all the bones, obviously. They're not going to eat all the bits and pieces. So there's going to be something left over. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. It shall take it from the sheep or the goat." So it's a lamb or a kid. "And you shall keep it to the up to the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now, in fact, it doesn't say in the evening, and this is the entire controversy. Because if you notice in your margin, it says Hebrew, between the two evenings. And the question mark is, which two evenings is it talking about? Now, what you'll find is that the Pharisees, based on their various rabbis, that have writings of the rabbis, the Talmud that they had, although it was an oral Talmud at that particular time of Christ, they said it was from noon, when the sun begins to actually go down, from noon until you actually get dark, until those are the two evenings. And the Sadducees said no, when reading, and they took it not from the various statements of the various rabbis and the Talmud. They took it more from the Tanakh, and in other words, from the actual Bibles and the Hebrew scriptures themselves. They said, no, it's from sunset to dark. Most of them would have said that. Now, probably there'd be some Pharisees that would do it the other way, and some Sadducees that would do it the Pharisees' way, but that is the general gist of things. Now, obviously, Christ, in fact, set it from sunset to dark. He started the Passover service with his disciples at the beginning of the 14th. Now, the reason why, however, you look at the, and the thing Mr. Armstrong brings out in the article that he brings out, is that you can't fit everything into one night. That's the problem. That's the basic fundamental problem with the historical aspects of it. You have to, therefore, get the actual Passover itself, which will have to be fitted in that one night. Here in chapter 12 of Exodus, in verse 22, it says, "And you'll take the bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood of the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts, and then none shall go of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." And so you've got to then start to say, well, what's morning? And the morning then suddenly becomes from midnight on, which is a load of nonsense as far as Hebrew writings are concerned. You start to have to twist meanings of words. Because if it doesn't go out until the morning, you've got some major problems. Because in verse 36 of that same chapter, you find the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they borrowed or gave unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So they actually took all gold and jewelry and all these cloth, wedges of cloth, and all these various things that they spoiled the Egyptians, and that would have taken some time. And when would they have done that? And what were they doing that for? Well, for the tabernacle. Where do they get all the things from the tabernacle? They were slaves, after all. Well, it's from that spoiling of the Egyptians and the instruction to spoil the Egyptians that they got the materials for the tabernacle, and also for the wealth as they went into the promised land as well. So that would have taken some time. In addition to that, it says... In verse 10 it says, "And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning." That's why you judge the number of people eating it. "And anything that remains of it till the morning you shall burn with fire." Now, again, burning with fire, you've got bones and the guts and all the various other bits and pieces. You're going to have to get rid of all this stuff, and presumably the skin as well. And that would need to be burned with fire. Now, if you've ever tried to burn something with fire in the way of an animal, you just try it sometime. How long it takes to do that. So to cram all this in, and here, and if you put in your notes Deuteronomy 16:1, you find they left at night. But that night in Numbers 33:3, that was Deuteronomy 16:1, but Numbers 33:3, it was the morrow after the Passover. So the only way you can cram all these bits and pieces in together is to have the beginning, between the two evenings at the beginning of the 14th, and then the actual leaving of Egypt on the beginning of the 15th, and all the other bits and pieces therefore have to fit together. But another scripture that you can turn over to is Numbers chapter 9. If you turn over with me to Numbers chapter 9. So the controversy is over this phrase, between the two evenings. But you can't fit everything into one night, and that's the basic problem with the historical aspects of it. But there are also other aspects to keep in mind. Here in Numbers chapter 9, in verse 5, it says, "And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Eternal commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel." And what they said then is that, in verse 10, because there were some people who were defiled, and he said, "Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or in a journey afar off, then he shall keep the Passover unto the Eternal." So important was it to keep the Passover, so such a vital ceremony, because, let's face it, picturing the actual death of Christ, that they implemented a second Passover for cases where people were traveling. Where it says, "The 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it and eat it, and so that they shall both keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and a bit of herbs." So notice what it says, the 14th day, both keep it and eat it. So again, it leans in the direction of the between the two evenings being between sunset and dark. And in verse 13 it says, "The man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbears to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has brought not the offering of the Eternal in the appointed season, and that man shall bear his sin." Now there's no indication that Christ was doing anything unusual when he kept it on the beginning of the 14th. So his disciples accepted the fact that this was the Passover being kept on the beginning of the 14th before the Pharisees were keeping theirs on the towards the end of the 14th. They were actually killing their lamb in the about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they accepted that aspect. So if he was doing it wrong, if he was doing it in a different way than laid down within this particular passage, he was sinning. He's not our Savior. So again, there's so many indications that lean in this direction. Final scripture, let's turn over to Luke chapter 22 and remind ourselves of this fact that Christ kept the Passover, and he kept it very particularly. He kept it in a, as it says in here in verse 14 of Luke 22, it says, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. So it was a certain hour, a certain time. And this was very clearly, if you look at the way in which it fits together with the, this is Luke 22, verse 14. If you put it together with all the rest of the outlying scriptures, it was very clearly the beginning of the 14th, the beginning of the 14th. And then he was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning on the 14th, because this was the beginning being the evening part of the 14th. Crucified 9 o'clock in the morning, died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and was then buried that evening, as the holy day actually began. But and when the hour was come, he sat down with his 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. So it must have been a regular custom for him to keep it on that particular day. So even before he implemented the New Testament symbolism that was there. And as it says, verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance, or as a memorial of me. So instead of looking back at Egypt and coming out of Egypt, it's coming out of sin, and it's a memorial of the death of Christ, as far as the getting rid of sins that are past. And it's part of the process of getting rid of sins of the past by applying the sacrifice of Christ to that to those sins. It's interesting that also in Hebrews 10, you don't turn there, but it says that in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again, made of sins every year. It's an annual reminder of sins every year that is given through the sacrifices, and this particular sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of Christ. And it was done at the right time, as far as Christ was concerned, as far as implementing the bread and the wine is concerned, and it also ties in very clearly back with what happened in Exodus as well.